May the Lord help us to commence with hymn number 872. Gold in the furnace tried ne'er loses aught but dross, so is the Christian purified and bettered by the cross. Hymn 872. two readings from God's holy word. The first, the book of Ruth, chapter 1. And then, the second epistle of Paul to the Corinthians, chapter 6. The book of Ruth, chapter 1. Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land. And a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. And the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife Naomi, and the name of his two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left and her two sons. And they took them wives of the women of Moab. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other Ruth. And they dwelled there about 10 years. And Mahlon and Chilion died also, both of them. And the woman was left of her two sons and her husband. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law, that she might return from the country of Moab. For she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. Wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her. And they went on the way to return unto the land of Judah. And Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law, Go, return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you, as ye have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant you that ye may find rest, each of you in the house of her husband. Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voice and wept. And they said unto her, Surely we will return with thee unto thy people. And Naomi said, Turn again, my daughters. Why will ye go with me? Are there yet any more sons in my womb, that they may be your husbands? Turn again, my daughters, go your way, for I am too old to have an husband. If I should say I have hope, if I should have an husband also tonight and should also bear sons, would ye tarry for them till they were grown? Would ye stay for them from having husbands? Nay, my daughters, for it grieveth me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord is gone out against me. And they lifted up their voice and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. And she said, Behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people, and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. And Ruth said, Entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God. Where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. When she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left speaking unto her. So they two went until they came to Bethlehem. And it came to pass, when they were come to Bethlehem, that all the city was moved about them. And they said, Is this Naomi? And she said unto them, Call me not Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. Why then call ye me Naomi, seeing the Lord hath testified against me, and the Almighty hath afflicted me? So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, with her, which returned out of the country of Moab. And they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of barley harvest. And now, the second epistle of Paul to the Corinthians, chapter 6. Paul's second epistle to the Corinthians, Chapter 6. We then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that ye receive not the grace of God in vain. For he said, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Giving no offence in anything, that the ministry be not blamed, but in all things approving ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labours, in watchings, in fastings, by pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armour of righteousness on the right hand and on the left, by honour and dishonour, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as chastened and not killed, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, as poor, yet making many rich, as having nothing, and yet possessing all things. O ye Corinthians, our mouth is opened unto you, our heart is enlarged. Ye are not straitened in us, but ye are straitened in your own bowels. Now for a recompense in the same, I speak as unto my children, be ye also enlarged. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Amen. May the Lord bless his word to us and help his servant to pray.
Most merciful and gracious God, we need thee now to grant to us a breath of real prayer. Oh, how we need thee continually to teach us how to pray and what to pray for as we ought, and that we might ask for those things that are in accordance with thy holy mind and holy will that we should ask for. O Lord, do help us to ask in faith, nothing wavering. O Lord, as we gather on this beautiful Sabbath morn, we pray that we may be in the Spirit on the Lord's Day, and that we may know in our hearts the sweet shining of the Sun of Righteousness with healing in his wings. And, O Lord, may thy sweet presence be known and felt both in our hearts and too within these walls, and that we may lose sight of the things of time and see by faith no man save Jesus only. O Lord, we pray that thou wilt come where we each are, and that thou wilt visit our souls with thy salvation. Oh, we pray that there may be a sweet token for good granted to us from thee. Oh, we would pray with the dear psalmist, show me a token for good. And thou knowest, Lord, how many have that as their fervent prayer this day and throughout their journeying here below. O Lord, we pray thou wilt speak to our souls, that we might hear thy voice. And O Lord, how we need thee to soften our hearts and to grant us that real grace of God in gracious exercise within, and that we may be helped to plead the precious name of Jesus, and that name that the Father loves to hear his children plead, and all such pleadings he approves and blesses them indeed. And O Lord, as we come before thee, we come just as we are. We've nothing to bring of ourselves. One said our best is stained and dyed with sin, and our all is nothing worth. Though we would come, Lord, confessing our many, many sins, we pray for that real heart confession, that God-given repentance, Lord, that we so need, and that we may be like dear Job when he said, I abhor myself, and repent in dust and ashes. Oh, we seek for a truly broken, contrite heart, Lord. A heart to weep and mourn over our sin. A heart to plead for mercy. And to plead that precious blood that doth for sin atone. Oh, may we be favoured to know each of us personally. Our pardon signed, and our peace procured. Oh, may thy precious blood be made very precious to us, Lord, and may we know its sweet cleansing power. For thou hast said, in the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Oh, may we know more and more of that sweet cleansing and be clothed in thy glorious righteousness. Oh, dear Lord, do give us faith to believe. We seem so often so faithless. But, oh, if it be thy holy will, do grant us that living, vital faith that is given to Abraham, that we might believe, even to the saving of our souls. Lord, may we have a stronger faith, that faith to press through the crowds like the dear woman did, that we might touch but the border of thy divine garment. O Lord, we seek for heavenly patience. We seem so often so impatient in things. But oh, may we be given that patience from above. And that we might run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus. O Lord, we feel how poor we are and helpless and so ignorant in so many ways. But, oh, we would look to Thee, who alone can grant that wisdom that we so need in all things. And may we each, Lord, be made wise unto salvation. May it please Thee, O Lord, to prepare us each for Thy will, both for life and for death. We know not what a day or an hour will bring forth. May we be amongst those that are ready, waiting for Thy coming. May we have on the wedding garment. Be clothed in thy glorious righteousness. O Lord, may it please thee to guide us each and direct us in all things. We are prone to wander and prone to leave the God we love. Oh, we beg of thee to keep us, dear Lord. There's so many evils we need keeping from that surround us and are within our own hearts. But oh, may we be amongst those who are kept by the power of God. Dear Lord, may we be kept looking unto Thee, kept at Thy feet, kept tender and kept humble, and have the mind and the spirit of Christ. Do bless Thy dear people as they've gathered this morning. We pray Thou wouldst suit Thyself to every sinner's case. Oh, may it please Thee to lift up those that are in the depths, Lord, and in low places. May they know that sweet lifting up by Thee. And oh, we pray that Thou wouldst set at liberty those that are in bondage. Lord, there are many of Thy dear people that are bound by sin and Satan and unbelief. Oh, if it would please Thee, do come and loose them, Lord, and let them go. As the dear poet desired, and it may be our fervent prayer, say to the wicked jailer sin, loose him and let him go. Oh, may there be those set at liberty in these dark days, if it would please Thee. Remember those in affliction. We pray for that needed healing to be granted to them, if it's Thy will. Restore in mercy. Lord, do make each bed in each affliction, we beseech Thee. And may there be the overruling, sanctifying hand of the Lord in it all. And may Thy dear people be enabled to say, it is good that I have been afflicted. May there be the blessings of heaven in it all, and in all Thy dealings with us each. And may we be given grace to be submissive to Thy mind and will. Remember the dear children, the dear young people. We commit each one lovingly to Thee, our own grandchildren and all the young and rising race, Lord. Pray that Thou wilt work in them and for them. And may they be given an appetite for the truth, a hunger and thirst that this world can never satisfy. But may they be fed with that bread from heaven. And Lord, do keep them in these evil solemn days by Thy mighty power. And may the prayers of dear parents and grandparents and those that pray for them be heard and answered. And may they each, dear Lord, be brought to pray for themselves. And may they be raised up a seed to serve Thee, and a generation to call Thee the Redeemer blessed. We pray, dear Lord, for the Sabbath school. Thou would abundantly bless those that teach in it, and may the word that is so lovingly set forth enter into the hearts of the young. And may there be that which abides in them and lives in them, even for the days to come. Do bless this corner of Thy vineyard. We thank Thee for the great mercies Thou hast bestowed upon them and all Thy goodness. We pray that there may be yet many born again here. There may be those that are in bondage set at liberty. And there may be those filled with the love of Christ, dear Lord. They might follow Thee in Thy sacred ordinances and commandments. And oh, may there be real prosperity throughout Zion. And we beg especially for our own flock at home, that thou would help our deacons in the reading service this morning, and thy dear servant this afternoon. And may it be a time of sweet refreshing from the presence of the Lord. And do especially help our dear brother as he ventures forth in the ministry today for the first time away. May he have that sweet liberty of the Spirit and journeying mercies. And may his labour not be in vain in the Lord. And oh, do remember all thy servants and grant them that gracious help. Those in weakness, Lord, do strengthen them and anoint them and help them. May they out of weakness be made strong. Remember this guilty nation, do hear the prayers that are put up for thy appeasement. Overturn and overturn all the laws and things that are being imposed upon us, Lord, that are contrary to thy word. Raise up, we pray, men of God and gracious characters, Lord, anointed of thee to rule our land. And take not thy Holy Spirit from us. Who hear the cries of those that sigh and cry over the abominations done in the land. Oh, do preserve to us thy holy word and holy day. And may it please thee to bless our Queen and the royal family with all the riches of thy grace. And may they be brought to set a right example in this land. Remember all we would and should pray for. And do anoint us now to speak a few things in thy holy name. May that which is sown in weakness be raised in power. And may thy precious name, dear Lord, be glorified. Our souls be profited. Who bless the deacons and help them in all the weight and burdens they carry. And we pray thou would abundantly bless the hymns they give out. May there be those times of sweet flowing together between pulpit, desk and pew. Forgive what we've uttered amiss. Make up where we so far. And help us to praise thee for all thy great mercies, in providence and in grace. We would love and praise thee more. We ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Hymn 1037. Days of darkness and distress are my portion here below. Thorny is the wilderness, and the Lord will have it so. Hymn 1037.
Thank you.
seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, I direct you to the book of Amos, chapter 3, and the third verse. The prophecy of Amos, chapter 3, and verse 3. Can two walk together except they be agreed? The book of Amos, chapter 3, and the third verse. Can two walk together except they be agreed? This is a very sacred part of God's holy word. It's not very often read in public and not very often preached from. But Amos was raised up to be God's messenger. And the Lord uses various men through the ages to be his messengers. And here we find concerning this dear man of God that he was among the herdmen of Tekoa. And we find too with the dear disciples, the Lord called them from various occupations to be used of him as his messengers. But you see, they could only be the Lord's messengers as the Lord gave them the message, like we read in the prophecy of Haggai, that he was the Lord's messenger with the Lord's message. Now, I don't know why, but these words have rested upon me for the last 2 days. Can two walk together except they be agreed? Really, this is a very important question. It is too a very vital question, and it is a very searching question, which we need as help to look into a little this morning. First of all, look at it naturally. Can two walk together except they be agreed? Well, of course they cannot, unless they are agreed. And we find that, and I would lovingly put that to you dear young ones and each of us here. Because, and that is why we read together in Paul's letter to the Corinthians, that sixth chapter, he says, and be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness, and what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? But I want to look at it particularly concerning us and the Lord. Because we need to begin by going back to the days of creation, when God first put man upon the earth. And you know, when he first put Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, God and man were in full agreement. They could walk together. But as soon as Adam and Eve fell, by partaking of the tree that God had forbidden them to partake of, sin entered. And therefore there was that solemn division between God and mankind. Now man could never alter that division. And man could never put it right, because he had no power to. They had sinned, and sin entered upon the whole human race. This solemn searching position that man is in by nature. Enemies to God. Cannot walk with God. We think of the ungodly in the world today. The Lord knows where they are and what they're doing. He knows where you are and what you're doing, and me too. How was then this to be put right? Well, it could only be done by the Lord. And one, in thinking on this point, the words of the dear apostle when he wrote to the Romans wonderfully describes it. And he says this: for if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And oh, you think of that wondrous coming of the dear Lord Jesus. And why did he come? That God and sinners might be reconciled. And the Lord, in his love to his dear people, sent his beloved Son, that sinners might be brought to the sacred place where they might once again walk with God. And it was all done through the glorious coming of the Lord Jesus, and through him suffering, bleeding and laying down his precious life at Calvary. And that he was to give life to his dear children. Did he not say to his dear disciples, because I live, ye shall live also? But let us look a little of it in experience. I use the illustration particularly of Saul of Tarsus, and I may name one or two others. But you think of Saul as he was in his unregenerate days. He was an enemy of the Lord, and so are we as we're born by nature. We're no different than he was. But what did the Lord do? You see, in him by nature, he hated the name of Jesus. He hated the ministry that Christ set forth. He hated the people of God. But what was to turn him? Nothing in Saul himself. The work must wholly be God's. And as the Lord spoke to him on that Damascus road, Saul, Saul, Why persecutest thou me? And you look at the power there was in that word. He cut him to the earth. He'd opened his heart to see what all what was in it, and the Lord showed Saul. And out of it, what did he cry? Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? He was willing from that very moment to serve the Lord. Here was a dear man that was sunk in sin and sunk in natural religion. And now the Lord was turning him away from it all so he could no longer walk with just professors of religion. He could no longer walk with the world and with the ungodly. All his desire was to walk with his God. And the Lord made him willing. There's a beautiful word in that 110th Psalm. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. You know, if this question in our text had been put to Saul of Tarsus when he first started that journey on the Damascus road, he would have said, no, I cannot walk with God. But you know, when he came to the hour, as he comes towards Damascus, cut down by God and emptied of all the natural religion he had and all his love for the world, the Lord was making him willing. He said, now we can agree. And they were brought to him one agreement. Or they were one, you see. And that's a wonderful thing, can do, walk together, except they be agreed. Look at it naturally. They must be one to agree. And the same applies spiritually. Can two walk together, except they be agreed? And you look how the Lord brought that dear man to cry out, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? All he wanted to do was the Lord's will and go in the way that God would have him go, not in his own way. And oh, what a mercy it is when the Lord, and that's why we read together that sacred chapter in the book of Ruth. You look at the character's name there. Ruth and Orpah were both brought up in Moab, and Moab is a type today of the world. It was full of sin, it was full of idolatry, it was full of corruption, wickedness, and they were born in that place, and they walked in it together, until solemn searching dealings of heaven took place, and the Lord took away both their husbands. And Naomi's husband, their father, their husband's father as well. The hand of the Lord was upon them. And the Lord used it to two ends. The first was exceedingly solemn. It was to bring Orpah to the test, and may our religion, if we've got a real religion, it'll be put to the test by the Lord many times, where she really stood. And when Naomi said to her, go back to thy gods and to thy people, it put them both to the test. The first, in the case of Orpah, was very solemn. She went back to her gods and to her people. That's where her heart was. She could no longer walk with Ruth. She could no longer walk with Naomi. Her heart was still in Moab in the world. And she could walk with them. You know, if you've got a real religion, and I have, we will not be able to walk with the world and with the ungodly. And we won't be able to walk with professors of religion. We can only walk with God's dear children, those we are one with. But I'll come to that in a moment. But then you think of dear Ruth. Lord, what that wonderful case. The Lord has left it on record, hasn't he? For the help and courage, encouragement of real seeking sinners. When Naomi put the same question to her as she did to Orpah, what did Ruth say? Entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. For where thou dwellest, where I will dwell, and where thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. She could walk with dear Naomi. Oh, she could. She couldn't walk with the world and Orpah and the gods of Moab, could she? Can two walk together except they be agreed? You know, we read it, didn't we? But Ruth clave unto her. Now, let me put it to your heart and mine this morning, and I preach this to myself. Where are we cleaving? If you were put to the test and the Lord spoke to you like he did through Naomi to Ruth and to Orpah, now you dear young ones, you weigh it up in your heart. Can you walk with the world or can you walk with God's people? Because you can't walk with both. Can two walk together except they be agreed? This doesn't mean we will disagree with the world. Many of us have had to walk with the world, in work with the world, but we couldn't walk with them. We've had to have much to do with them, but we couldn't walk with them. I look back to the days when it came to me so powerfully this last week, when all my ambition was to take up cricket and to enjoy myself and to travel around the country and around the world. But you see, that was the motive of my nature. But I could take you to the very spot where I filled in all the forms, ready to post off, to go into it. And everything looked settled. But I thought before I post them, I'll leave it to after the weekend. And I went up to the house of God, and dear Mr. Herbert Dawson was preaching, and he stopped in his sermon, and he said, if any of you young people are thinking of taking up sport as a career, he said, let me tell you something. He said, that all comes from the devil. And you know, it was like an arrow that went right through me. And I couldn't get over it. And I went home and I thought, now what am I going to do? There was that in my old nature that said, well, pursue it. But you know, the Lord showed me If I went down that road, he'd deal very solemnly with me. And all I could do was put them in the fire. And from that very hour, you see, oh, one had to prayerfully pray our way along. And the Lord gave me such a love to his dear people. I used to remember sitting in Stapleless Chapel, and I thought about Ruth many times, you know, how she clave to Naomi. And I used to look at some of those dear old saints in the chapel, and I used to think, Lord, give me the religion they've got. Don't leave me to wander from thy people and thy cause. It was in my nature to do it. But you see, can two walk together, except they be agreed. God will bring his dear people so they, under the grace of God and under the new birth, to this place where all they want is him, so they can walk with him. And he will walk with them. What do we read? I seek to be led into this because you look how Ruth walked with Naomi. Why? Because they both desired the same things. They both loved and were brought by the Lord to love the living God of Israel, the Lord that rules the universe today. And they could walk together, and they had sweet communion, didn't they, together. And sweet fellowship together. But you may say, oh, but there's so often divisions even among God's dear people. And there were in the, see, and if you read closely through the prophecy of Amos, you will find that there were times, and there were with the children of Israel, where they wandered from the Lord. They went after sin, they went after idols, and the Lord dealt with them because of it. He couldn't walk with them and they couldn't walk with him. And so what did he do? He put his hand upon them in solemn judgments to bring them back, you see, so they could walk with him. I thought when we sung that opening hymn, you know, that there's a very precious verse in that that's been so often sweet to me over the years when the Lord has dealt searchingly with us. And it's this, where the Lord said, he will by means like these thy stubborn temper break, soften thy heart by due degrees, and make thy spirit meek. And you know, when he makes you meek like he did Saul of Tarsus, you'll be willing to do anything he tells you. And you can walk with him. When is it Christians all agree? I kept thinking of that before I got up this morning. When is it Christians all agree? We sing it in the hymn, don't we? Well, when is it? When nothing in themselves they see, and Christ is all in all. You see, we've all got to be brought down and humbled in the dust to be willing to walk with the Lord. Oh, we have. To be nothing. We think of that sacred hymn too. Brethren, let us walk together. It's a lovely hymn, that is, you know. In the bonds of love and peace, can it be a question whether brethren should from conflict cease? 'Tis in union. faith and joy and hope increase. Can two walk together except they be agreed? Now you think, you young ones, in seeking a husband, seeking a wife, if you truly love the Lord and fear him, you'll seek one that you can not only walk together naturally with, that is vital, but you can walk together spiritually. I bless God many times over the years the Lord gave me a wife that we've walked together, not only naturally, but in the vital things of God. And it's wonderful when there's that oneness, you see. You can walk together in it. Well, think of the Apostle Paul. What did he say to the churches? His heart, you see, the dear apostle's heart was knit to those churches that he preached to. He was one with them in the vital things of God. And they were so laid in his heart that he said this. He said, I sorrow with them that sorrow. I weep with them that weep, but I rejoice with those that rejoice. You see, their sorrows were his sorrows. They were walking together. When the Lord favoured them with joy, he could rejoice with them, couldn't he? Because he was one with them in it. And may there be more and more of this in this solemn day, you see. I remember some years ago, when I was ever so sorrowful and in a low place, and I hadn't told anybody about it, apart from my wife knew, but nobody else. And the Times, dear pastor in this land, has phoned me up. He said, you know, I'm concerned about you. And he said, you know, the Lord has laid it on me that you're in a low place. And he said, I just want to phone you and tell you I'm sorrowing with you in your sorrow. But he said, I hope we shall be able to rejoice together. It's a sacred thing, you know, when we have the mind and the Spirit of Christ, like that dear man has showed to me so many times over the years. And it's really humbling. Now, those that walk with you, you see, in what you're in. You dear young people may have things that burden you and trouble you today. You may not tell a soul about them between you and the Lord, but the Lord can show it to his people. And there may be those that are praying for you and they're one with you in it, you see. Your trouble is their trouble. And your sorrow, your anxieties are theirs. Can two walk together except they be agreed? Well, let me just name a few things from the Word of God. First of all, this great point of oneness. It's been with me so much the last 2 days. Being one in the things of God and walking together in. You know, really when there was that wonderful day of prosperity in the Church of God, in the Acts of the Apostles chapter 2, when the Lord poured his Spirit out on the day of Pentecost, what do we find? There they were, of all different nations and nationalities and different tongues, but there's one thing that so often stood out to me in that case. And it was this, they were one accord in one place. Now you think of that. Who had brought them all there? They were one accord. The Lord had done it, you see. They were one accord in one place. They were together in it. And you look how the Holy Spirit was poured out upon them. And then we think of what Paul said when he wrote to the Philippians in that beautiful second chapter. He said, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, and then this, fulfill ye my joy. Ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Oh, that oneness. And to feel that oneness with the Lord and oneness with his people. The hymn writer said, didn't he? In union with the Lamb. You know, two can walk together only if they're agreed. Can two walk together except they be agreed? In union with Christ, in union with the Lamb, from condemnation free, the saints from everlasting were and shall forever be. Union with him. Walking together, you see, with a precious Jesus. Let me just pursue this walking, because we think of two precious characters in the Old Testament. You think of Noah. There he was, ordered by God to build the ark. It was a very searching, solemn time. Wickedness was rampant throughout the earth. Noah was a preacher of righteousness. But we read this concerning dear Noah, that he walked with God. And not only did he walk with God, but God walked with him. He didn't walk with the ungodly and those that were wallowing in sin in their day, did he? The Lord didn't. But he walked with Noah, and Noah walked with God. They were one, you see. And oh, may we know that wonderful walking we're together with the Lord. You can think too of the wonderful case of Enoch. What do we read? He was not, for God took him. But we read concerning Enoch, he walked with God. Oh, they knew what it was to walk with the Lord. Now, do you and do I? Well, let me come low. Do we desire to walk with the Lord? And for the Lord to walk with us, can two walk together except they be agreed? But then, let's name of just a few characters that we might see a wonderful oneness here in the things of God. We think first of all of Ruth that we have read of, and Orpah. They couldn't walk together. Orpah went back to her gods, to her people. But you look at dear Ruth and Naomi. They walked together. And then you think of dear Ruth when she goes back to Bethlehem, Judah, and the Lord leads her to the field of Boaz. And oh, you look how Boaz and her could walk together, not only naturally, but in the vital things of God. And Boaz was a beautiful type of the dear Lord Jesus. And you look how Boaz so lovingly cared for dear Ruth, and just how the dear Redeemer cares for those he loves. You see, in this walking together, love is the golden chain that binds. Oh, it is. The Lord's love to his people, the love he gives them one to the other. Love is the golden chain that binds the happy souls above, and he's an heir of heaven that finds his bosom glow with love. And you look at the love there was between Ruth and Naomi. Another precious illustration of this, of course, was the case of David and Jonathan. You look how they walk together in the vital things of God. They flow together. I love that word in the 31st chapter of Jeremiah, where we read this: therefore they shall come and sing in the height of Zion, and shall flow together to the goodness of the Lord. May there be more and more of that in these solemn days, that sweet flowing together, you see, walking together in the vital things of God. And when we're really tender and humbled, we can walk together then, can't we? Flowing together from heart to heart. Another beautiful illustration of it too was the Apostle Paul and Timothy. You know, there was a great age gap between them, wasn't there? But that didn't hinder them walking together. I think, you know, in my very early days, some of the aged saints I used to go and see, you know, and I used to feel such a knitting and union to them. And I used to listen to what they used to say, and I could walk with them in it and long for the same blessings that they had. And you think of the Apostle and Timothy, they were knit together by God, they were. He was his son in the faith, dear Timothy was, of the Apostle Paul, and they walk together. And then we think too of the two that journeyed to Emmaus. You look at those two precious souls, they started the journey full of sadness, didn't they? Their dear Redeemer had been taken from them and crucified and laid in the earth. And they said, we trusted that it had been he that should have redeemed Israel. But you look, when Jesus drew near and he went with them, they not only could walk together themselves, which I'll look at in a moment, but they walked together with the dear Redeemer. Oh, they did. As he opened to them the scriptures and that, what did they say as they got to the destination of Emmaus? They said this: did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way? You notice the wording of it. It's often misquoted. Many say, did not our hearts burn within us? He doesn't say that. Did not our heart burn within us? They were one, you see. That's the point. Did not our heart? There were two of them, but their heart was one. Burn within us. Now, what did it burn with? It burned in love to the dear Redeemer and all that he'd accomplished at Calvary. And they could walk together, couldn't they? Can two walk together? Now you may have to walk in some very trying afflictions, troubles, things that you thought you'd never have to walk in. We think of many of God's dear children that are walking through deep and trying things. They need particularly the Lord's help and his appearing in them. But oh, what a mercy it is when the Lord draws near to you and he melts down the rebelliousness there is in you, the hardness, and he brings you submissive. You see, for us to walk together, we got to be submissive, haven't we? To walk with the Lord, we got to be made submissive. Go back to where I started this morning, to Saul of Tarsus. The Lord made him submissive to submit to the will of God. Oh, he did. And when the Lord makes us submissive, we can walk with him, come. In his sufferings, in his agonies, as he brings us into those deep places and we have a little view of what he endured. And oh, there's a sweet walking together, a fellowship with Christ in his sufferings. Can too walk together, but I must leave it for the time. Except they be agreed. They must be brought to agree. Naturally, it never works unless there's agreement. But oh, to be made willing to be nothing. Go back to what I said earlier. When is it Christians all agree? When nothing in themselves they say. And Christ is all in all. Well, I've scratched around the surface of this today. May the Holy Spirit, he knows why the Lord laid it on me. And I tried lovingly to bring it before you. And may the Lord bless the text to each of our souls. And may it stir up in us that desire to walk more and more closely with the Lord. We sing, don't we? Oh, for a closer walk with God. A calm and heavenly frame. A light to shine upon the road that leads to the Lamb. If it leads you to Christ, poor soul, it's the best place you can ever be led to, because in him is all that you need, both for time and eternity. Amen.
The collections last Lord's Day were £580, for which we are very thankful. God willing, there'll be a prayer meeting tomorrow evening with an address by Mr. Field. Mr. Pocock is expected to preach on Tuesday evening, and Mr. Timothy Barker next Lord's Day. And there's a notice about the car park. The land adjacent to the rear of the chapel car park has been offered to the chapel by the current owners, Mrs. Sophie Parrish and Mr. Bill Parrish. The church and the trustees have agreed to proceed with the intention of purchasing the land for a car park extension. We are looking to the Lord to go before us in this matter, if it is in accordance with his will. It is our desire to make provision for the generation following. May it please God to grant a godly increase here. Our closing hymn is 1068. Jesus, full of all compassion, hear thy humble suppliant's cry. Let me know thy great salvation. See, I languish, faint, and die. Hymn 1068.
Thank you.
Dear Lord, do forgive now anything thy pure eyes have seen amiss. Do bless thy own word. May we not leave it all on the chapel doorstep. May there be a little of the bite. Take us now into thy kind care and keeping. Come up with us through the rest of the day, if it would please thee. May the grace of the Lord Jesus, the love of God, and the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit rest and remain with us each, now and forevermore. Amen.